pop my titties and spread my thighs. Here they come. It's the good game, guys.
And
really?
You gotta love that.
I gotta. Wow.
What did I agree to appear on?
Who? What?
Well, that was submitted to us about a couple weeks ago by a fan of ours, Don. Thank you again for sending us that, you know, lovely intro.
And on
that is the best cover ever, right? A fan sent it.
She did all of our jingles, too, which is kind of fun.
It's like, well, nobody loves me more than me.
All right, ladies and gentlemen of the video gaming universe, this is the Good Game Guys. I got TCO.
Got Dr. Captain here.
I'm Dag.
And the Good Game Gal. Go ahead.
And Span.
It's Stephanie.
Span jumped in. He jumped the gun a little bit, so I guess Span is the Good Game Gal.
Yeah, I guess.
Yeah.
I think Span kind of appreciates that a little bit.
We can share it. We can share it.
Yeah, that's
all right. I'm okay with that.
No, he's the good game person that always shows up in the sitcom and knocks on the door randomly and walks on in and everyone claps.
Fuck yeah.
Am I Kramer? I'm Kramer, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
Good game
Kramer. That should be this week's title, the Good Game Kramer.
That is him.
Hey, oh, good game. I promise that I won't scream the N-word repeatedly.
Yeah, let's not do that.
Yeah, we'll hold off on that one.
Oh,
my
Dag laughed pretty hard. What is it?
I mean, wow.
So, I'm going to just read this text off to our viewing public. So Dawn just texted me and she says, "Oh God, that was supposed to be a private joke. You are insidious."
We talk about games now.
Call us and tell us that.
Oh.
You know what, yeah, Don, how about you call in real quick and just
seriously,
tell us that?
The amount of what she's contributed to the show, and she has not even let her voice be heard yet. Don, stop cowering behind your headphones. Pick up the phone and call us.
Oh, God, help me, I'm dying.
we already had like that scare last week.
Okay, guys, hold up. We have to momentarily carry the show because Deg's pulmonary system is shutting down.
Okay, games, we all like games.
We all like
fun.
It.
Oh, so once again, guys, so what happened in your previous week of gaming? What did you guys partake in?
Well, been kind of playing a little bit of Payday 2 here and there ever since they added in the, thank God for the stealth update that they kind of fixed, kind of. Yeah, kind of.
Do I get cloaking in like a little laser cannon on my plasma cannon that fires three little lasers so you know you're screwed?
TKL, I don't really know. Does that exist in real life?
Yes.
Bullshit. Really?
It's called a Barrett sniper rifle with a tri-laser scope.
So the Barrett sniper rifle turns you invisible.
Wait.
It turns whoever you shoot invisible.
I don't think a red mist is invisible, technically.
It depends on how far away you are.
Exactly.
It is Barrett.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess so.
Dr. Captain, so Payday.
Payday.
Yes, Payday. So, you know, lately had some fun here and there actually being able to stealth again after, you know, what, Dag and my previous arguments on the Death Wish update.
Yeah.
There's still some issues here and there.
All right.
Man, we got ourselves
that's
a piece.
That's where you lost it.
Yeah.
You had it good up to that point.
Oh, yeah.
Tom Cruise and the...
Oh, yeah. No, we get it. Back in the closet.
It's okay, Junior. It's okay.
Sorry, tell us your rules.
All right.
Shit, I got nothing to say after that now.
All right, then let's move on. Next.
Move on, Dad. Lately I've been hearing like some interesting stuff going on your end.
Well, last week I had the plague.
So yeah, that's definitely an interesting thing.
Black,
that
white, or purple?
So if
yeah, which one was it?
Maybe you didn't notice. I wasn't here last week. I was sleeping for like 20 hours straight.
He was battling death, and apparently he won.
Yes.
Or he didn't, and this is Sixth Sense.
Honestly, I was thinking that he could just
You're like a zombie.
Dude.
He could have just had the fight with death, lost all his equipment, now he's got to go into Castlevania with just that dinky little short sword.
No, this is Bill and Ted's bogus journey, and he beat death all those board games.
Or maybe he's posted back in his 8-bit home, and now he has to go up through the woods to find where his stuff was.
So, anyway, I had the... last week. And I played, like, a round or two of Payday, and that was pretty much it. Like, I haven't done shit, dude.
Wow. Recovery.
Yeah.
That's a fun game.
Pretty much. It's like, I'm trying not to die.
Hey, you know, maybe if you played some Dr. Mario, you'd be at 100%.
Oh.
Well, okay, Stefanini.
You just gotta eat some mushrooms.
Wow.
That's a callback to last week.
Seriously, I want to break bricks with my head.
Just brought it back to last week. I'm sorry, I had to go there. Anyways.
All right, Stefanini, what gaming mischief did you get involved in this
week? Okay, guys. So, y'all know that I was, like, out of town for a while and in, like, planes and constantly everywhere. But I was like, okay, so I'm going to download some free games, you know, on Steam. I'm going to try to get myself into the PC gaming world.
Welcome.
And I came up with, you guys are probably going to laugh at me, but I started playing Dragons and Titans.
Nanny?
I've never heard of that one.
Anyone? No?
I got nothing.
What's that?
Okay, so Dragons and Titans, it's a multiplayer online battle arena type game, you know? And, I mean, it's interesting. It's definitely interesting. It's kind of got, like, an adventure feel to it. You're pretty much battling dragons out and trying to get to the next world and, you know.
Oh, so group PvE.
And what was that?
Is it group PvE, like everyone versus the computer, or is it like you fight other teams of people?
Well, you're fighting against the computer, but I think there's arenas where you can go and you can fight other people. I haven't gone to that level yet because I'm still, like, a beginning dragon whatever person. So,
or with a campaign. Nice.
Yeah.
Legends up.
So, I mean, it's kind of interesting. I don't hate it. I don't love it. I'm kind of in the middle. It's just getting down kind of everything, you know, going from the console and having, you know, the PlayStation controller and then getting myself back into being on the, you know, on the computer and stuff. It's a little different.
Fair enough.
But it's going good. It actually totally random thing, but I will have to just tell the story anyway. Back when I was in college, there was at the gym, there was this awesome game that you would play while you were on a bicycle. And it was a video game where you had dragons and you would collect their coins. And you would kind of go up these hills, and, like, the further up the hill you would get, you would collect, like, larger coins, you know, and stuff. But it totally reminded me of that, except this was more enjoyable because I wasn't working out. but it was pretty sweet, you know. It got me into it, and I'm looking forward to getting into some other stuff. But I like these, like, free games to start with at least, you
know.
Yeah,
definitely the right
stretch
place
out
to
hands
kind of hang out.
So, yeah. But it was good. It was fun. So that's what I've been up to.
All right. And El Spaniard Dingo Banderas, what have you been up to?
You know, it's funny that you say Antonio Banderas because, yes, he is a big Spaniard. That was the joke.
really? I thought he was Mexican.
Ooh, oh, wow.
Dude, you know what Mexicans are? They're Indians that were raped by Spaniards.
Oh, okay, we're getting a little far off track here. Why don't we
keep it real?
We just tell us them. It's true.
back to gaming.
Not like some certain, you know, Germans. I mean, go ahead. Wow.
I started Infamous Second Son, which is an absolutely gorgeous game. Them neon powers. Oh my God! You know, you get to the night part of the day-night cycle, and you just start blasting neon, and it's just a light show for the eyes. It's really, really pretty game. If you liked the previous two Infamous games, and
wait,
you know, you want
as in Cole and Lightning?
Yeah.
Yes, Infamous Second Son. It's set 7 years after the second game, and it's a whole new character. And, you know, without spoiling anything for anybody that wasn't in any of the previews. So, you know, if you've seen any of the previews, I'm not spoiling anything. The first two powers you get are smoke and neon.
Wait, neon's a power?
Yes, neon is a power. You
so
know,
what do you do, throw Las Vegas at someone?
yeah, but in the form of, like, colored lasers and, like, a laser neon sword and crap like that.
So basically you get to be Jubilee, only better?
Yes, a better version of Jubilee, and you also, like, get, like, the flash speed, but you have, like, this neon after image of you, like, trailing behind you while you're running super fast.
So he can make millions being a moving advertisement.
Oh, it's pretty amazing.
Roger,
so I'm enjoying that, and I've X-boned myself. I just got an Xbox One.
Oh!
Shame.
And the reason I got it was because it was on sale, $50 off, plus free game, and I had enough gift cards to get the system for free, basically.
Desperate much, Xbox?
And, well...
Fucking... Oh. Sorry, hate Xbox.
Well, so I got the Xbox One, and I downloaded some demos to it and realized that Microsoft is starting to jump onto the bandwagon for a industry practice that I am not a big fan of. If, Cap, you think we're good to start leading into that topic?
Let's see. Judges, what do you think? Should we lead into that right now, or do you want to wait?
No, we can save that for a little bit later.
We should save that.
We go save that.
Give a little time.
All right, well, you know, we'll put a button on that, and, you know, I've teased it. Microsoft is doing something bad. Shock.
Shocking off, folks.
Really?
Who would have guessed?
Moving along.
Yeah, so moving along real quick. So that sounds about like pretty much what we've all been doing. So...
Oh, me, of course. My bad.
What have you been up to?
Well, seriously, I've been majorly doing the Mirror Universe event that Star Trek Online is doing so I can get that 50,000 dilithium. It's going on until April 3rd. And other than that, I was playing, you know, Command & Conquer Kane's Wrath, my homeboy CJ, going over tactics and strategies there. And recently I was gifted by our homeboy, good friend, my nigga, who gifted me Payday 2. So now it's time to get Samuel L. Jackson on some fools and rob some mother... Oh, yeah. Okay.
That's okay. Stephanie said it. Go ahead.
That was...
Don't cut yourself short, man.
Come on. You're getting to...
No, maybe Battlestar Galactica.
You're getting into a Sam
Jackson... Frack you!
No, you're getting to a Sam Jackson moment here. How dare you disrespect Samuel motherfucking Jackson by saying yourself like that?
True. So, Sam, if you're watching, probably not. I'm sorry.
You know, I got to cut in for a moment and say while I was playing Infamous Second Son, I came across a burger joint that had the Royale with cheese listed on the sign.
Nice.
What?
That right there is my reason for getting a PS4.
Yes.
I thought my reason was going to be because it's awesome.
Yeah, well, I'm enjoying it.
I want to laugh. Titanfall only be on Xbox.
One of these days.
Because apparently the PC is not a platform.
You know, I'm actually going to go off on a slight.
Not. PC is a PC.
You know, I'm actually going to go off on a slight side tangent right now since we brought up the Royale with cheese. One of these days, we all got to plan a road trip over to this area down over by Imperial Beach, because there's actually a Kahuna Burger there.
What?
Yeah, there's a Kahuna Burger down over in Imperial Beach.
You know, if we plan on meeting up anywhere, Stephanie's going to show up with her paintball gun and be shooting at us, right?
Stephanie.
Hell yeah.
But the things we got to arm ourselves, you know that, right?
She's too adorable to shoot.
Oh, you don't even know it. You guys don't even understand. I get into, like, serious... Like, I got into a mode the last time I was out there. I felt like I was in Call of Duty. I was jumping into all the bunkers and just, like, paintballs all over just... spraying them all. It was crazy. They had no idea what was coming to them. It was great.
So you were paintball bukkakeing all sorts of people.
Oh. Oh. Oh, no, he didn't.
Oh, he did.
He went there, got souvenirs, and his passport stamped.
Oh, man. You know what? I think after that, we kind of have to bring ourselves to a quick little commercial break.
Yes.
Hopefully the sponsor will stick around after that.
Something that's going on in, like, Chicago or something.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah.
A little respect.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and get that started.
Deuces!
Elysium Entertainment presents the Hot Topic Fashion Show, Saturday, March 29th, Stanley Park Convention Center, located at 18451 Convention Center Drive in Stanley Park. Hosted by No Limits Own Romeo Miller and Rome Everything Clothing.
Yo, what up, Shot City? It's your boy Romeo Miller. Come out to the Hot Topic Fashion Show on March 29th at the Stanley Park Convention Center.
What's good, Chicago? It's your girl Diamond. Hot Topic Fashion Show, March 29th. It's official.
It's been one. Come out to the Hot Topic Fashion Show, March 29th at the Stanley Park Convention Center.
What's up? This your boy Chris from All About Chris TV Show. Hot Topic Fashion Show. See you there.
It's your girl Yandy, and I will be in the building at the Hot Topic Fashion Show March 29th at the Tinley Park Convention Center.
Doors open at 6 p.m. Showtime is at 7 p.m. Music by DJ Bam and DJ Tysco. Purchase tickets at HotTopicFashion.Eventbrite.com. That's HotTopicFashion.Eventbrite.com. Call or text 312-884-9138 for more info. That's 312-884-9138.
Sponsored by Chicago's only Lisa Carmel.
Well, alrighty then. Well, if you're in Chicago or you're balding and you can just buy a plane ticket.
Just basically go wherever the hell you want, like, you know, the thing we can't really do.
Then go ahead and hit that up.
Can you afford to travel? You make more money than we do.
Yeah, basically.
We accept donations.
Someday. I don't know. We need to look into getting that donation page set up. Yeah.
You know, yeah. It'll be called Keep Hope Alive Foundation.
I think that's already taken.
Then we'll fight them for it.
Make Wish Foundation Mark II.
We can take them.
Anyway.
We should make a calendar of gamers, you know, and it's like different characters or something. Each one of us could be a character for the month.
So
yeah.
Like a cosplay calendar?
I wish I could get paid in Trident layers.
So she's going to be Lara Croft.
Oh, my gosh.
Jason's going to be Rocket Raccoon.
I could be Mario. Jesus, man.
Please.
Dude, I have the Mario outfit already.
Fun!
I think you can do it.
I can do the better accent than you possibly could.
It's-a-me, Mario. It's-a-me,
yeah.
Mario.
Then you, like, push a button, and then you make the toy.
Who would that be?
Just be a 6-foot-tall leisure suit, Larry.
Being a character, dressed up like a character and going somewhere.
That could help, you know.
I think I'll be Raven from Tekken.
Try not to get too far away from the tree.
Or Eddie from Tekken.
How about, what was it, Yoshimitsu or Yoshimiro, I think it was?
Mitsu.
Yoshimitsu, I'm sorry. You could just be like, what was it, Tiger? Or, what's his face?
Saget.
Well, Tiger is basically...
What did you call me?
Basically.
Tiger uppercut! Tiger knee. Remember that dude? I hated him more than Bison.
Saget,
Back in Street Fighter 2, he just throws those stupid Tiger bolts at you, and then as soon as you try to jump kick him in the face, Tiger uppercut! Tiger! Tiger! Tiger uppercut! It pissed me off so bad! Hand signals. Gestures.
Weird little gestures that are going on right now as you keep saying Tiger uppercut, man. Come on, you got me in the session here, man.
Okay, now what? Please
don't say any other ones, please. Don't
just stop.
Because you got me set up, man.
Okay,
just
let it go. All right, you know what? Now that we've gotten our
shenanigans,
now it's time for the serious part of our show as to how corporate BS is screwing us over currently now. Actually, no.
Once again.
Yes. Well, no. It's just gonna be right now. It's gonna be the happenings. We'll
basically get into it. So right about now, you know what, Deg?
Who
hit up that sweet little jingle by that sweet angel?
And
I like my news like I like my coffee in the butt.
Is that a Janet Jackson reference?
Nah, that I totally choked.
I think that's Greer dude.
David Allen Greer.
Jerk with the gerbils and the oh god.
Oh no,
Richard Gere.
Richard Gere.
Oh no, I would say that it's more a reference to Janet Jackson because a few years back, like a lot of years back, there was some rumor that she had coffee enemas because they were, you know, really good for you, apparently.
And on that bombshell, here's the news. The Elder Scrolls Online website at elderscrollsonline.com has posted an early access and launch FAQ, which details the process of opening the Elder Scrolls Online to the public, beginning with a 5-day early access period that begins at 7 a.m. Eastern on Sunday, followed by 3 days of early access beginning on April 1st. The game will launch for all on April 3rd at 7 p.m. Eastern, though Bethesda warns that these times are subject to change. Vince Zampella has been tweeting about DLC plans for Titanfall, telling followers that DLC is in the works, not quite done yet, though. Don't think we've announced a date yet. He also explains that new game modes introduced by the DLC will be made available to all owners of the game, even if they don't buy the DLC.
Cool.
Good move.
Yeah, okay. Good move.
Facebook has acquired Oculus, paying a reported $2 billion for the virtual reality startup. Forbes says it paid with $400 million cash and 23.1 million shares of Facebook stock, and the deal includes a potential $300 million in additional incentives. There has been immediate backlash in the form of Marcus Notch Person tweeting, we were in talks about maybe bringing a version of Minecraft to Oculus. I just canceled that deal. Facebook creeps me out.
You know what? You think we have a moment to kind of delve on that a little bit?
Hold that thought.
Yeah, we'll hold that thought, because honestly, I know Span here definitely is very vocal on that particular issue.
Well, I'm sure we've all got opinions.
Yeah,
but,
we'll save that.
Yep. We'll unleash the Spaniard later.
Get a notepad and write it down.
Sure.
my vocality was just two words. Panty tantrum.
Yo, nigga's gonna make me unleash the Spaniard.
Back to the news.
Battle.net announced the launch of the Reaper of Souls expansion of Diablo 3. Blizzard's launch live stream on Twitch TV had more technical difficulties than the launch of the expansion itself, but that's commonplace. It's not a live stream without some technical bugs. The stream included details on how they overhauled the game and plans to introduce new competitive features moving forward, including ladders and tiered rifts. Black Powder Games announced the release of Betrayer on Steam, a self-funded action-adventure game designed by a team that includes veterans of Monolith's No One Lives Forever series and the original Fear. The game is described as an eerie, suspenseful action-adventure in which players traverse a mysteriously abandoned New World colony in 1604, trying to piece together what happened to its inhabitants and survive the supernatural threats they encounter along the way. Eurogamer.com reports that Far Cry 4 will be set in the Himalayas. They claim they can confirm this, and they've also cited people familiar with the project in reporting the game will feature the ability to ride elephants. They also state one source says to expect the game to be unveiled at E3. They also say they understand Ubisoft is aiming to release this by March 2015. Did you guys just notice all of those weasel words? I did. Take these rumors as you will. The DirectX developer blog has the official announcement from Microsoft about plans for DirectX 12, saying the next iteration of the gaming API will bring significant performance improvements when it's released in the holidays of 2015. The blog goes on to say that this shouldn't just be an upgrade for existing high-end PCs, but any current Microsoft OS product, including tablets, smartphones, desktops, laptops, and even the Xbox One. The blog lists a number of technical details, which in layman's terms basically mean that games properly programmed with this API will look better, perform better, and scale up to higher resolutions better. 4K may finally be feasible. This would normally be the point where the news stops for the week, but since I missed last week, let me give you some headlines from, you know, the week prior so we can just catch up. Deep Silver announced the promised summer release of Sacred 3, The Fight for Glory, will be August 26th in North America. Unreal Engine 4 has been made available for $19 a month subscription fee, plus 5% of the game's gross revenue. Cheap price for a feature-rich engine, that should make indie developers happy. Pre-orders are live for Wildstar, which is expected to launch June 3rd. Star Wars The Old Republic Galactic Strongholds has been announced by BioWare. The new expansion will begin early access on June 24th and brings player-owned housing to The Old Republic. Paradox will be distributing Obsidian's Pillars of Eternity. Short blurb on this one. Pillars of Eternity is going to feature the exploration and depth of Baldur's Gate, the combat of Icewind Dale, and the writing and thematic maturity of Planescape Torment.
What?
I will like this game. You should, too.
Yeah.
Let's see. As previously reported, the Diablo 3 auction houses are now closed. Ding dong, the witch is dead.
Wait, is that not bad?
No, it's great. Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Phantoms, Ghost Recon Online, launches April 10th. EverQuest is 15 years old as of March 16th. Yay, I feel ancient. I played this in beta, and back to the studio.
sad face?
Yeah.
Damn!
Right?
Looks like TKO's kind of dying a little right now or something.
Back in the day, we used to actually have to play with a joystick with a single button.
Wow, you guys had to do that?
I remember when Pac-Man was state-of-the-art graphics.
Before it became misogynist.
I remember this joystick, like ColecoVision, that was basically like a boxing glove with a joystick on top of it, and each finger had a button to press.
Dude,
wow.
It was actually kind of awesome.
I remember I thought Super Mario Bros. 3 was the most graphically beautiful thing I'd ever seen in my life.
And dude, homie, battle tanks.
Yeah. Dude, an Atari. with the bullets that bounced off the wall somehow. It's like, digga, 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 boop, beep. It's like battle pong.
So now we have that bit of a news segment taken care of.
Is it time to put somebody's ass on trial?
A little bit, actually. Quite a few people. But to be honest, I still kind of wanted to focus on that Oculus Rift story, because I'm pretty sure. I'm pretty sure we all had a little more thoughts.
That's the ass we're putting on trial.
I guess so.
So I guess Judge Degg is going to be presiding over these proceedings.
Wait, trial. I remember we were going to talk about something like that, but I also remember that people were going to tell me what was up ahead of time.
I'm just kind of winging this right now, because right now this is a topic that deserves
no,
a trial.
No.
Okay.
Really?
Really?
Okay. We have our trial stuff. And then we just have stuff that we want to talk about that happened in the news. This is just something that we want to talk about.
I guess the court case is being postponed.
Court case on this is postponed, so...
Alrighty. The audience will be the jury.
So that, the whole issue...
an extension of a week.
Okay.
Basically.
The trial of the People versus Oculus is scheduled for next Wednesday at 10 p.m.
Alright.
Possibly.
10:30 p.m. There we go.
Anyway, so it sounds like there's kind of like a bit of fiasco going on with this whole Oculus thing. I've been hearing like fans are apparently demanding they get their full money back after like funding the Kickstarter after Facebook bought it now. Like, what's going on there?
You know, the problem is that it feeds into a fundamental misunderstanding of what what Kickstarter is as a website. Kickstarters are basically donations with incentives. You are trying to help get a company off the ground, and if they get successful, you know, all the better to them. But as long as you get your Kickstarter funder, you know, incentives
prize
and rewards and whatnot, you know, basically prizes slash pre-orders, you know, they've taken care of the people that funded them. I mean, at this point, you know, asking for their money back, what are they going to do, send their Oculus Rifts back?
I would imagine that'd be the ideal situation.
That would be the only reasonable situation. Like, okay, we'll give your money back, but give the product back so we can, you know, salvage it for parts.
Right, and that's the whole idea. Like, you know, what exactly do people want out of this whole, quote, you know, refund demand? I mean, did they not get the product that they hoped for, that they paid for? You know, I mean, so many of these people, they put money into it because they wanted a prototype that they could, you know, create tech demos and games off of. Did they not get that?
Well, yeah, but also, what about the support system that's going to be behind that?
Well,
exactly.
Actually,
and that is why I would take, you know, this is me, and then everybody else, you know, can say, you know, what they think, but...
Okay.
Could I just go ahead and bring up a...
Wait,
yeah, okay.
Let him finish.
I'm taking the wait-and-see attitude because it could go in a couple of different directions. One, Facebook takes the Instagram route and says, hey, Oculus Rift, continue doing what you're doing. You're doing good already. That's why we bought you. We're going to take the hands-off approach, and if you get monstrous, huge, and successful, we collect the profits and then eventually branch it out. Or they could just completely destroy it. And we're, you know, that's why I say wait and see, because we want to see what direction they take it. Because $2 billion in funding can do a hell of a lot towards legitimizing the Oculus Rift.
Of course. I mean, could you imagine all of the additional hardware research they're going to be able to do with it?
Yep.
But it does basically sound like we're all hoping and praying for option one, which is effectively Facebook saying, shut up and take our money.
I'm just wondering if the whole reason people are kind of just getting into this whole argument tantrum right now is just because, for some strange reason, we want to believe that it's the most backstabbing thing you could possibly do to fans by accepting money from some big corporate. It seems like a strange thing. I don't know why. It just seems that way a lot of the times. In fact, right now, I could even kind of segue this into another situation.
Well,
that...
Isn't that the main goal of Kickstarter, becoming big enough that a company would be interested in you?
No, it's to be able to do it yourself.
Part of it, though.
Well, yeah, I can see both sides of that. The issue that I've sort of got has got to do with Facebook itself.
Yes.
Facebook purchasing Oculus could be okay for the Oculus Rift and whatever other products they're going to come up with in the meantime. It could also be a terrible experience for gamers. I mean, like, ooh, congratulations, Farmville is now on the Oculus Rift and
Candy
it's still
Crush
ad
Saga
supported. Oh, yeah, give us a dollar so you can have more turns on Candy Crush Saga. Like,
Facebook has already made an announcement saying we aren't going to do that. We are so not going to do that, at least now.
Sure,
Albert. We all know how promises work in this industry.
And you know what we should do, though? We should come with a good game, guys, Oculus ad blocker. And put that on Kickstarter.
Oh, man. But put it
I'm
on,
just saying.
Tack it on the board.
Can you program that? Like,
I mean, we should do this. Put up.
Oh, my God.
You know, Oculus ad blocker.
Starting another movement.
Yeah,
yeah.
Let's go ahead and put another movement. Wait, Stephanie, how many movements are we up to right now?
This is the third one.
Oh.
You know what?
I'm
going to go ahead and just hit
wait,
you.
Wait, what are the three?
Okay, the first one was to boycott...
Dreadfox.
Right.
Okay.
I've already forgotten him.
The guy hasn't been relevant since Parappa.
Yeah,
Yeah, okay.
Rappa. And then the other one was, shit, what was the other one?
What was the other
one? Oh, it was...
Scorzini, I believe.
What was it?
Was it us basically going against Arnita again?
Oh, yeah, but... I
don't think that was the epic what she's thinking. We had, like, she's right. We had another movement we're going to make. It was, like, a movement. We're going to, like, raise troops and invade.
It was.
Was it about graphics and games?
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, because they lied to us.
Yeah, that was the second one. Thank you, El Spaniard.
We need to write this down. Can we put this on the Facebook page?
Seriously, we need to raise troops.
Do you want us to give you admin shift so you can just do this stuff?
We should.
I mean, I don't know, maybe.
The second she has to order.
Sure, I'm ready for that level of responsibility. But okay.
That's a lot. But I'll just type it up there, you know, and I'll just go, hey, this is what's happening.
I guess, yeah.
And this is she's right, this will be the third official movement. We need more troops.
Right.
Listen, we absolutely do. And speaking of what we were talking about last week, and we were talking about all the feminist stuff, and I was bashing about how, like, the characters are too sexual and stuff.
Yeah.
So today I was doing a photo shoot, and it totally looked like a video game character, and it was pretty sexual, and I was like, man, that looks pretty cool. I'd be a video game character, and then I realized everything I said last week was kind of against what I was doing this week.
Oh,
what you're telling us is that girls think like that, too?
That girls like feeling sexy?
Okay, it was weird. It was a weird feeling.
Sorry, you got...
Stephanie. Do girls watch porn?
Oh, no.
Whoa.
Stop. Stop the bus.
Wait, no. I want to see when this bus is going to crash.
Stop the bus.
How about we get back to Oculus Rift?
The bus has crashed.
The bus.
Which building? What side of the street? What road is this bus going to collide and take out a building?
My point was that it was kind of interesting that I was thinking one way last week. And then at one point I was like, man, that would be like I would love to be a video game character. And then I was like, oh, crap. Yeah.
I just volunteered to be the exact same thing I was slamming last week.
Well, you know what, Stephanie, I think...
Thinking the, like, really fake looking and, like, very, very naked. That's what I was...
You know what, Stephanie, I think that what you're saying actually proves a very important point, that it's important not to be just stony in one direction or the other and to be more fluid and fair about things on a situation-by-situation basis and not just look at an entire, an entire potential and then go, that is all, you know, misogynist, sexist, racist, whatever, and there's no way it can be any other way. No, take it on a case-by-case basis.
I agree. And it made
Open
me realize
mind.
That it doesn't mm-hmm. – it's not necessarily that just because there is feminism. Feminism is also being a woman, and a woman is different than a man. And so we have to also be very comfortable in, you know, in having that kind of viewpoint and that kind of image as well, you know, and think of it as not a negative thing. It's only negative when we make it a negative thing. So that was just kind of like an epiphany moment for me today. So I just thought I would share that. But
fair
anyway.
Enough.
Thank you for sharing.
You're
so
welcome.
I guess I originally wanted to try and segue this while I was bringing up my point on and Facebook conversation, but I guess it's still salvageable at this point after having to stop the bus.
Why'd you stop the bus? That explosion would have been awesome.
No, because we're not the damn explosion.
That was good. That was a good call.
Because we're the good game guys, not the porn game guys.
Thank you.
I mean,
it was
well,
anyway,
at all.
Let's just drop this for now.
It was just a question.
Captain Facebook,
I was more asking
go.
Of equality.
Oh. We'll get into that discussion another time. Let's focus on games.
That
Come
is
on.
A game.
Well, how about we focus on that load of ass?
You think this is a game?
Yes.
Yes, that load of ass.
The trial begins
well,
now.
Damn, I guess I kind of have to just toss that story aside. Huh.
Well, no, don't. Come on. We're all quieted down. We're
so, basically, I've been kind of called up this morning to basically bring this up, is that Disney apparently wound up buying out the Maker Studios. Yeah, basically Maker Studios is apparently supposed to be like
The YouTube network.
Yeah, the YouTube network that basically helped like get a bunch of people started up, like the Epic Rap Battle.
Yep.
Okay. Wow.
Do you not listen to the show?
He does not.
Oh, I
that one guy.
That's exactly how it is.
Exactly. Be good.
But and you know, basically like Epic Rap Battles. I think Ray William Johnson is still a part of it. I'm not entirely sure. PewDiePie, and the Game Grumps essentially. Like they're basically a part of it. And Disney recently made a move to buy out the movie studio. Thank you, Maker Studio.
YouTube as we know it may be doomed.
We'll see.
No.
YouTube's going to be fine. It's just going to be that particular branch or studio.
The one that made the funniest stuff?
Well,
that's debatable at best.
Okay, fine.
That's debatable.
As a rapper.
I'm sorry. I really shouldn't attack because, you know what, everybody has their own little niche, but goddamn it, PewDiePie, could you please...
What, make less money?
No,
are you
just
kidding. Like,
no, by all means,
a big cash infusion for all of these people.
By all means, I can just stand back and appreciate the fact that he managed to make money off of what he does. Just for the love of God, could you maybe try and tone it down just a wee bit?
Are you kidding?
That's what attracts.
Not toning down is why famous.
Infamous would be the word I'd choose.
Infamous. Well, okay.
Nice what you did there, buddy.
Whatever. Inflammable still means flammable.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
I mean, flammable.
In any case.
No,
but, you know, I guess just in a sense, you know, I guess TKO at least brings up a decent point where it feels like they're going to be like some form of censorship, I suppose, or just more like toning it back a little bit. Because, you know, PewDiePie, let's be honest with ourselves, completely goes off and just does a bunch of, like, rape humor, I suppose.
And have you heard Epic Rap Battles of History?
Yeah, they get pretty damn dirty.
If Disney's doing oversight over them, they're doomed.
I see your point in that,
it's
but
YouTube. I mean, it's all jokes.
But see, here's
all these people are bringing in money, so Disney is buying it so they can get a cut residually.
And actually, I'm about to side on you with this because
okay,
I saw
him decide to not interfere.
Hold up.
Right.
Because that's probably as likely the case. I mean, look at Marvel.
I suppose it sort of harkens back to the same.
I really
deal
don't see
Facebook
a difference between Marvel pre and post Disney. I don't see a difference.
Well,
I do. Like a ton of Marvel games have just been delisted, yanked off of Steam, PSN, Xbox 360. You know, just no longer purchasable.
And we covered that.
We covered that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, like movie wise and show wise, but okay.
All right.
But. And actually, I brought up my own theory on the reason why that was being pulled out, but I'll share that some other time because that's not what we're here to talk about.
Right. We've talked about that already.
Yeah.
So we have important stuff to talk about, like what we're doing right now.
Right.
What we're doing right now.
Doing
yeah.
Right now.
What are we doing right now? After I just thought I'd go ahead and share that story real quick, just kind of get our little insight in the issue.
I figure I'm going to go ahead and... Dude.
Put my bottle caps down.
Dude, we can totally buy that plasma
cannon. Put my damn bottle caps down.
Dude, we gotta get out of this vault.
Damn dirty super mutant.
We gotta get out of this vault. Gotta go to New Vegas.
But I wouldn't call him a super mutant.
A ghoul?
No.
Oh, God.
You're a damn ghoul. You animal planet farmer plane BS dude.
Things were
would it be racist to call you Three Dog?
Till my skin.
I'm sorry, what was this, man?
Would it be racist to call you Three Dog?
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, this is Three Dog coming at you from the Capital Wastelands, and there's a giant robot wreaking havoc.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway,
so let's go ahead and move on to our load of ass, if you will.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we were going to do that.
We were going to do
that. That's what we were
going to
do.
Let's do that.
Let's go.
So,
ahead.
First off, let's go ahead and at least open up the phones a little bit since we talked for a decent while. So, Dag, what are the numbers of way how to contact us?
Yeah, it looks like the guest call-in phone number is 914-338-1303. You can also hit us up at Skype at GoodGameGuys1. That's the number one. So, again, GoodGameGuys1.
Oh.
And I think that's... Those are it.
Those
and
are basically the only ways you can kind
of
get a hold of us.
Speaking of good, hey, good friend, what you got, Doug? What you got if you listen? Good friend, where you at? Come on, go ahead. I know you out there.
We're just trying to goad as many people to be a part of our show, damn
hold
it.
On, you can call in.
Seriously?
Don, yeah, seriously.
That'll work.
Anyway, after us goading out. So, me and Span have been kind of talking a little bit off the show after what we did last week, and we've basically been talking about like a couple things that want to popping up, specifically where video game reviewers are. Span, help me out here, because I want to say that they feel they're being censored from giving out a proper review.
Of course.
Well, see, hold on there, because exactly what's going on is that publishers are kind of stopping them from outright spoiling a story.
Is that all that they're trying to do?
Okay, come on.
I can pick up from here if you like.
Go ahead,
yeah,
please.
Span,
wait, I have one thing to put out before we go, Span. If that was the case, I mean, if they were free to say what they wanted to say, would we have had the Space Marines debacle?
Wait, we don't really know exactly what's going on yet. What's going on, Span?
Yeah, there's a difference between embargoes and saying what people can talk about. And to give an example, the most recent one, Infamous Second Son just came out this last week, and some reviewers are complaining that Sony told them what they could not talk about, specifically in describing various powers, showing footage of beyond a certain point of the game and whatnot, and Sony said, these are the things we don't want you talking about specifically for spoiler reasons. We don't want mechanics of the game being spoiled. We don't want surprises being spoiled, environments, things like that. And it's like, you can talk about anything you want, just please avoid those topics because we want gamers to experience them as they happen. And, you know, if they wanted everything spoiled in a review, then just, you know, make a review 10 hours long and show the entire game.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I kind of agree, and
I don't really
not
see
agree.
A problem.
Yeah, I don't really see a problem with it either. I mean, honestly,
I'm gonna do the devil's advocate, and you know, I'm gonna do both sides of the argument real quick. One is, you know, if a reviewer said, you know, you can't talk about bugs, you can't talk about, you know, how long load times are, you can't talk about, you know, this glitch you found, you know, okay, that is understandable and that is BS, and no publisher should be allowed to tell a reviewer that.
Right.
But when it's literally just saying...
Reasons, like
yes.
That,
yeah.
Yeah. But like, when it's literally just
like
saying, please don't spoil parts of the game...
Hey,
I'm on board with that. I hate spoilers. And, like, to give you an example, I remember years and years ago, I was reading through a PC Gamer issue, and
let me pause you real quick.
Like we actually got ourselves a caller real
Someone's
quick.
Someone's trying to chime in.
All right, then. I can hold off. PC
All right.
Gamer.
Hold that thought, Mr. Spaniard.
Hello, caller. You are on the air.
Hi, guys. It's Dawn.
Oh,
Dawn!
She makes her presence known, finally.
Hi. What? Well, I've already made my presence known, and I guess I'm going to come back now.
Right.
As Dag would say, fair enough.
Yeah, that opening jingle was just meant as an inside joke, and Dag insisted that I record it, and I figured you guys would listen to it once. Get a really good laugh and say no.
Obviously, you don't know what's
I know. Now it's an outside joke.
I hate to admit, we've used it more than once.
Yes,
than
I know.
Four,
I figured after a while, if somebody would put a stop to it.
Someone probably could have, but you know what?
I feel uncomfortable. I think I need an adult.
But you know what?
Well,
hey, I'm just going to bring myself to just some fan requests. I mean, come on.
Yes.
And
apparently,
and by only incidentally speaking right now, fans, if you have your own intro or any little jingle that you guys want to submit to
us. Challenge the Dawn. For right now, she sits as the Good Game Guys, queen of the jingle.
Damn straight.
Wow. So we got a title.
Well, that's easy when there's...
Yeah.
All
right. That's easy title to keep when no one else is challenging me right now, you know.
Yeah,
bring it
on.
Steph's throwing the gauntlet down.
Challenging the queen, folks.
Lol.
Gauntlet thrown. Start making some jingles, damn it.
I picked up the gauntlet and slapped you like a sissy Frenchman from the 1500s. 1500s.
This could become a whole new thing for the show. Who can come up with the weirdest jingle? The funniest
jingle.
No,
please, please don't take it in that direction.
Oh, please.
Do whatever, folks. Do whatever you want. Make it weird. Make
send
it professional.
Send us your worst. Wait, should I be saying that?
No, just send us any little. We'll listen to it. If we like it, we'll put it on the air.
So, Don,
how about
you have
clever
questions, comments, concerns?
No, I just enjoy listening to the show.
Aww.
I'm having fun. I'm surprised that you used all of the jingles. I figured maybe one or two would get in.
We didn't
really.
They were awesome.
They were.
Oh, okay.
They're all.
Pardon?
But there's no problem with playing any of them that I can tell. So.
Oh, there's a problem, but we're going to ignore it.
There might be a slight problem.
We choose to ignore it.
Water under the bridge, like.
Every week, the same water. Is that the water from last week?
Anyway.
No, you know, wow. If we're not careful, we might end up living under that bridge.
And we can charge people and become real trolls instead of just internet trolls.
Aw, seriously. Like, I would totally collect my bridge tax.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
You're going to need a goat and some gold to stop me.
Oh.
Anyway, hey,
thank
Don.
Thank you very much, Don, for your call-in.
Yeah, thanks for calling in.
You're welcome very much, and it's a good show, guys. Have fun. I'm having
we'll
fun.
We'll continue to abuse your jingles, thank just you. Letting you know that.
Yes.
Thank
okay.
you, Don.
Oh, you're welcome. If I can think of anything new, I'll send them in.
Yes. Right you on. Must keep your crown. No.
Yeah, you got to keep the crown. What if somebody actually comes
well,
trying?
Yeah, make me fight for it. Make me fight for it. That'd be fun.
Come on, like I said. Gauntlet Throne, man. Let's have a battle of the jingles, man.
Sissy French glove was thrown, remember?
All right, so.
Well, you know, back.
Don.
Yeah, see
back.
All right, bye.
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 Well, that was fun.
That was fun.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
The Queen.
Phone calls are always fun.
Indeed.
So anyways, I was saying, I was reading through an issue of PC Gamer, and they literally spoiled the final boss of a game in the review with the screenshot and everything, and like the next issue of the magazine was how pissed off everyone was, and they're like, yeah, everyone was pissed off and whatnot, we're sorry we spoiled the final boss, and then in their apology letter, they used the screenshot again, except blurred it this time.
Oh, really?
That would piss me off.
But when's the last time PC Gamer was relevant, though? Really?
Oh, you know, I'm not gonna insult PC Gamer. I was just using it as an example for, you know, I like anybody else doesn't appreciate having major spoilers in reviews. I mean, the review is supposed to get you to want to play the game, tell you everything about it. Because then, like I said, you know, what's the point of playing and not just watching 10 hours?
You're exactly right. The issue that I've got with the reviewers that would be complaining about people telling them not to spoil the games is, dude, if you can't review a game without spoiling it,
you suck.
Then,
you're not a good reviewer.
As a reviewer, go and get a job flipping burgers or something.
Well, and, you know, to that, I'm not insulting the guy. I'm just, you know, this is one of the guys that complained. Adam Sessler, for example, like I said, I'm not insulting the guy, but he spent the entire first minute of his infamous Second Son review basically saying, you know, I don't feel that I was able to do my job to the best of my abilities because Sony told me that I couldn't talk about this, that, or the other. And it's
Dan,
yeah?
Hold that thought one more time. We got another caller.
Okay, then.
Jesus.
And this one's on Skype. Cinequi, what's up?
Hey, welcome
guys.
Back.
What's going on?
You should be calling through the show, Cinequi.
No, don't get mad at him. Come
it
on.
It was the program.
Oh, Jesus Christ,
dude,
man.
Wow.
What?
TKO's become our producer, and he's angry about numbers through the website. That doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
Whatever. He's listening to the show.
Fine.
Welcome,
Cinequi.
Jesus Christ, man. Santa Queen, what's up?
I have something to say.
So I heard you guys talking about spoilers. So how many of you guys picked up the Final Fantasy X HD collection?
Uh-oh.
I haven't touched Final Fantasy.
I am going to pick that up.
Obviously, I'm not going to spoil anything, but the game is pretty famous for having a rather big spoiler kind of thing happening at the ending.
Well, you know what? I'm going to say directly to that. Since the game is, you know, like a decade plus old at this point...
Oh, no, yeah.
It might be hitting a brand new generation of gamers. And this brand new generation of gamers may be picking up this HD re-release for the first time.
Exactly.
So to think the only people buying this are, well, they're just buying it for nostalgia. No, these are new gamers. So, you know, please don't spoil.
Additionally, content in this game was not available in the American release of Final Fantasy X.
Ah.
It's the international edition.
Yep. Okay.
Oh, really?
What?
Which didn't come to the States, but did make it to the EU.
Interesting.
Okay, cool.
What kind of thing is that?
That's...
America's bigger than all of the EU combined.
Oh, please. It's published crap.
Bastards.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
But, you know, it just came out... I don't know what day it came out. Last week, was it?
Well, let's go with that.
Yeah, about last week, yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
So far, I've been having a good time with it. I was just curious if any of you picked it up, if you were having a good time.
Well, definitely pick it up on me.
Yeah, I've already previously played Final Fantasy X back in the days of the PlayStation 2, and honestly...
Bahamut, standing there with his arms crossed like a boss.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't play the international version, so I don't know what might be different.
That's a good point.
Big thing that's different that might be interesting just for the sake of being different is that there is this thing called the Expert Sphere Grid.
Mm.
What? Huh?
Which is a revamped sphere grid that... So basically what you have for the expert sphere grid is each character is placed on a path around the center of the sphere grid, and they go out in sort of a spiral pattern.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay. Call it the leveling grid.
Right.
And right at the very center is Kimari, who does not have a path. You can just take him through whatever path you want.
He'll just go wherever the hell he wants to because it's Kimari. You're going to tell him no?
Because he's a...
And they made it actually really easy to get from one character's path to another character's path. You can actually take, for instance, Yuna and switch her over to Riku's path and just make her a thief really early on.
So they made it easier to cross-class?
The white page stuff if you want. Huh.
Yeah, I remember cross-crossing.
Go get Steel and use and take her back through her white mage stuff after just, like, maybe 10 extra sphere grid points.
I remember cross-classing was actually a far more difficult thing to do back in the day, too. Like, you had to pretty much get to end game in order to pull it off.
Well, basically.
Yeah, I think you actually... I don't remember for certain, but I believe you needed either level 3 or level 4 key spheres in order to get from one character's path to another in the original. But in the expert sphere grid, you don't need that at all.
Nice.
It's just some of the high-level abilities are obviously locked behind level 4 key locks.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to get Ultima without...
really devoting to it.
Dude, Ultima's awesome. Just giant green blob of pain.
And, you know, back to the Final Fantasy...
The only thing that still makes me mad is that Osmos is still hidden way away from Lulu's path. It's down in Waka's path, which is a fairly significant step away from where Lulu is.
All right, everybody, come on. Blitzball. How fun was Blitzball, actually?
Once
you learn how to play it, how fun was Blitzball?
I didn't really ever really like Blitzball. I thought it was just filler.
I was Kobe Bryant in Blitzball.
It is filler. It's a minigame.
It is a minigame.
We were all state champions, dog. We were going national.
It's also really easy to cheese.
Yeah, it was really easy to do. All you had to be honest with yourself. All you had to do was just get brother on your team and you won.
I'm sorry, my Titus was Kobe. I'm sorry.
Titus,
well, all you had to do was first game of the season.
If you had Jack Shot, then yes, you were awesome. But
Kobe,
yeah, if you had Jack Shot, yeah, you were awesome. But if you had brother,
I was underwater Kobe.
That's it. No, right. game over. You win.
Is Kobe paying you to say his name over and over and over and over
it's
been a little... by Carl's Jr.
Water Jordan, actually. I'm playing Jordan. I was making shots. I would, like, catch the ball at their goal and make a shot from their goal and make it into my goal. And everybody would be like, how did he do that? Because I'm freaking Jordan. Oh, give me my underwear deal, son. What? Hot dog? What?
Anyway, you know, going back to the spoiler talk for Final Fantasy X, you know, you think, hey, you know, me... you know, now that I'm in my late 20s and I owned a PS2 and I owned a PS1 and I owned an NES and all that stuff, that I would have probably played Final Fantasy X by now. And you know what? I bought Final Fantasy X when it came out. I played through about 2/3 of the game and then my copy got stolen. So I would be one of those people that never finished the game. So I would hate after, you know, a decade of being on that precipice.
Yeah, especially if you had just spent like $40 to pick up the Vita version or something.
Right.
Pretty much.
Dude. So could you imagine waiting 10 years to finish the game, and then right before, you know, I pick up the game, I see the review, and it spoils the ending?
Right.
I think that 3 weeks ago, if you had not been excited at all for this release, you probably would not have cared about a spoiler. But once the game came out, if the thought of buying it crosses your mind, then obviously you have great reason to be upset because it's right there. And you could work at it.
Guys, you guys got to be also thinking about something else. Now, yeah, regulations to prevent reviewers from spoiling games, I fully agree with. But also,
not regulations, just, you know, just that general level of respect where, you know, I don't think it should even...
Hold that
thought.
Hear me out, guys.
Stephanie here has something she'd like to say, right?
No, but I agree. I mean, if there's some sort of guidelines that would just kind of be thrown down to say, you know, as like we were saying, as a respect for all gamers, there are certain things that you shouldn't say. Or maybe on certain sites, there could be some, what is it, that they have it on? They have it on, like, movie databases, I think, too, where if there's going to be about to be a spoiler alert, it kind of covers up or it gives you a fair warning. Hey, continue reading. This will be a spoiler.
Pretty much. There's always a spoiler warning. Actually, interestingly enough that you go into the movies aspect of it all, but I don't ever recall Sickle or Roper ever giving spoilers in their reviews. So is anybody else?
Sickle or Ebert.
Yeah.
My whole thing, though, is what I'm seeing that's happening a lot, which is starting to concern me, is the whole, like I said, Colonial Marines thing and the Dark Souls 2 thing, where the...
That's two different situations. One is spoilers, and the other is embargoes. And embargoes are basically saying, you can't open your damn mouth about anything until this point.
That, what I'm saying, should not be allowed. They got the Food and Drug Administration to monitor food products and that kind of stuff. They have, you know, the Better Business Bureau to monitor that. There should be some type of monitoring device in play that does not allow companies to get away with Colonial Marines and Dark Souls 2. Like, you should be able to easily do a proper, non-corrupt review about a game.
Well, you know, in some countries it is. Like the UK, they have much stricter advertising standards than we do. And it's really – we don't need some big, giant entity. We just need some stricter controls on consumer rights, things like that. And the thing is, you know, since video games are kind of this redheaded stepchild of the entertainment industry, if somebody did champion this cause and, you know, went to their congressman or whatnot and said, you know, look, this is something that happens every single day in our industry where a company will show one product and release another. And then basically just go, you know, we got our money, haters gonna hate, YOLO, and then, you know, just run out of the room.
Oh God, he just said YOLO.
I've been holding
on
this.
I didn't use YOLO as myself saying it. I used it ironically as the company saying it.
Yeah, another painful chapter in that is for me is Rome Total War 2. As Dag and the captain can tell you, I was sitting and waiting in anticipation for that game, drooling over going, Rome is going to be amazing, it's going to be awesome, it's going to be epic. The game they produce, now, this is the exact opposite of Dark Souls. The game itself was beautiful, graphically awesome, amazingly beautiful.
Yeah.
But the mechanics of the game were completely broken. The computer's AI was so... We're 9 patches in after the company gave a formal apology for screwing up so bad.
You know what? I may just go ahead and break away from the show a little bit and say I'm saying this, but, well, it's made by Sega.
No, it's not. It was published by Sega. The same people who made all the previous games made the same engine in this game. Now, in this game, the AI cannot use siege weapons.
Yeah.
They put this stupid feature in where the AI can run up to your gate and throw, apparently, napalm high-explosive flaming torches at your gate, burn your gate down, and rush in.
Huh.
Now, the computer will have siege equipment, battering rams, and everything ready to come in and properly siege you. They will abandon all that, run directly to their gate, and just start throwing flaming torches at it.
And this is 9 patches in.
Oh, and apparently Dag has been keeping track. So what you can do is, you can
listen to you tell us this.
I've told you this. I've kept this to myself because it really pissed me off.
You just told us it's 9 patches in, like 15 seconds ago.
Oh, okay, my bad. Yeah, so we're 9 patches in, and the AI is still retarded. And the point of the matter is, it's like civilization. Each one of your cities, they can spawn with a certain amount of defensive units. With the defensive units you have in boiling oil, you can have 300 men wipe out an army of 2,000 plus because they'll rush your gate, you'll bottleneck them, and they'll die.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Rome 1, which came out in, what, 2002 or something? The computer knew how to use its siege weapons and it would attack you, and you have to, like, plan out your defense.
Right.
So right now, I have the same question that everyone else has. If you had this AI that worked, that's 8 years old, why is the current generation AI so damn retarded?
I think the more important question is, why did you release the game in such a state?
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, that is a more important
thing. And then they do the greedy thing of going, oh, shortly after release, adding a blood pack that makes it all violent and gore. I'm like, I am not spending any additional money on this.
There's
the game
wait,
gave
wait,
you
wait,
was
wait.
Crap.
Hold on. There's a DLC that's a blood pack?
Yeah.
They did that in the last game, too. You know, something
wait,
that
wait,
would
wait,
take a mod or 3.5 minutes to throw together and
no,
create...
No, stop, stop. In their defense, and I have to play devil's advocate. The reason why they do this is they want to be able to have a teen... rating on the
yeah,
game.
You want
to
know something?
So the adults can go ahead and DLC
but then
out the blood.
And offer it for free.
Why not just have a setting to turn gore on or off?
Yeah, I'm
like
sorry.
Well, if it's a setting, they couldn't have the teen rating. But if it was DLC after the fact, they could have the teen rating, but then give it away.
But you want to know something? I seem to recall this working in Mortal Kombat's favor back in the day.
Wait, when Nintendo had gray blood?
When the Genesis had
sweat.
Yeah, and guess what? There was also that cheat code inside of it that actually allowed you to turn that supposed
Genesis,
sweat
yeah.
into
That's
blood.
Why Genesis was better than a Super Nintendo back in the
Super
day.
Super Nintendo had better sound, music, and animation, but the Genesis had the blood.
I know.
Last processing.
9 years old and killing
Genesis
things.
Was all like, we know our target demographic, go for it.
They want exploding heads.
Give them the gore. It's good.
Give them the gore.
Sega does what Nintendo don't.
Oh, yes. But that blood code was ABACABB.
Oh, my God. Your respect level has increased by 57 points. You just leveled up.
I sold my Super Nintendo and bought a Genesis because I wanted Mortal Kombat with the blood.
Wow. But like I was saying, though, I mean, some type of regulation on the review, like Colonial Marines, honestly should not have been allowed to happen.
And that is like a completely different argument because all of the reviews, every single one of them, except for like a couple of psychotic outliers, said that the game was shit. So, you know, none of the reviewers, you know, were not allowed to say that the game was bad. Every one of them said that the game was bad. So this is like a completely different situation
here. The game was bad.
How did so many people fall for the pre-order crap then?
They were previewing a completely different game, and the people were going, oh my god, we want this so bad, and pre-ordered it, which just goes to show that, you know, buyer beware before you pick up your pre-order, or, you know, maybe don't pre-order at all, because a company, which, you know, should be in all, by all accounts, illegal, can just, you know, they can hold up like a cardboard cutout and go, this is what the game is, and then when the game comes out, the cardboard cutout falls forward and something completely different is behind it.
You know, that's sort of the problem that I've got with pre-orders in general. When you're paying ahead of time for a game that you've never played or even seen before, you're...
Oh, no, but we've seen it.
Well,
you've seen the wrong version of it.
But you haven't
had
it on hand. Like, I'm not really talking about Dark Souls 2 or Colonial Marines or whatever the hell else failed to live up to expectations. What I'm saying is making a purchase based upon expectations before the product is available or reviewed or, you know, even a demo is really provided to you as the end user, you've basically failed economically. You're buying this game because you believe that you will like this game.
Now, I'm going to disagree with you there using Colonial Marines as an example. in the fact that I and many other people, but I personally had Randy Pitchford, the president of Gearbox, lie to my face. I had a conversation with him about Colonial Marines. I went to E3 and sat in on the private demo that was like in the big-ass Aliens APC.
Sure.
And they're literally pointing at the screen going, this is live gameplay. This is what the game is going to look like. You see those guys behind you up in the booth? They're playing the game right now. So I would say it's reasonable. Reasonable to say, okay, we are being shown the game. This is what it's going to be. And making a purchase based on that.
Yeah,
I mean, it would be like...
That was a private showing at E3,
except
so...
that was released to the public. The entire
really? Did
video.
The rest of us get to play that demo? Or was it just a video that no one really had verification on?
Ooh. Everybody watched that video online. It was released to the public. And it would be kind of like releasing a movie trailer for some crazy-ass CG movie and then getting a black-and-white hand-drawn animation. It's not representative. It was a lie. It was a complete
Don't you mean
fabrication.
It'd be like getting a pen and some paper?
Yeah! Make your own, biatch!
I see where he went there.
Fair enough. But my whole point is that people need to stop pre-ordering.
And
pre-ordering is maybe the least smart decision you can make. You're basically putting your money up front and saying, without experiencing this firsthand, I will like this game.
But
I agree with you there, because, you know, the whole issue with pre-ordering is it's literally the company pretending like there is some arbitrary limit on the number of games that exist. There's some fake I can't think of the word right now, but let's go with limit. Yeah, there's a limit on how many copies of the game will exist, and you better pre-order or else you'll miss out on, like, a digital game.
Right, exactly. And that,
now,
that seems, A, stupid, and B, CA.
Well, and it's that entire practice is fueled with pre-order bonuses. The entire practice of pre-orders is fueled with pre-order bonuses, which the industry at large is like, you know, we really don't want to do this, but companies like GameStop refuse to stock our products unless we make up some kind of fancy-smancy pre-order.
Companies
bonus.
Like GameStop yeah. wouldn't exist if it weren't for you.
Dude, Walmart does it
whatever.
Too.
Exactly, but I'm just saying that GameStop, for example, many companies have stepped forward and said they said that they would refuse to carry our game if we didn't have a pre-order bonus that would make people pre-order it at GameStop instead of somewhere else. So the
Walmart
whole
does the same thing.
Bonus,
you know,
it's guaranteeing that somebody buys it at your store instead of somewhere else. There is no place where that is actually in the benefit of the consumer.
In all those cases also, that pre-order bonus then gets put in as DLC.
Right, yeah.
This might just be speculation, and well, it most certainly is. A secondary issue I've got with pre-orders being available is when you pre-order something, there's usually a set-in-stone launch date put into place for said pre-order. Like
unless they don't feel like it.
Have it June 6th. The issue that I've got is that feels like a publisher/distributor move to basically lock the developer into releasing a subpar, sub-performing product. Like a
I do agree.
Product
unless they feel like it.
Because they're contractually locked into this release date because money has changed hands.
Well, and then it also goes into GameStop. They can actually be fined by the distributor, or, you know, GameStop or Best Buy or Walmart, for example, by not getting it on the shelf by that certain amount of time.
Right.
Oh, that ain't gonna happen.
And that sounds like it puts kind of, A, undue stress on the developer, and B, dude, what if the developer really, really, really wants to put this lighting engine into their game, but they haven't been able to figure it out, but they can't extend the deadline on the game because pre-orders started?
Dark Souls 2.
Well, that's also just one of the unfortunate realities of being a company that has to make a product.
Yes. Yes and no. I mean, a game developer, well, let's take a look.
I mean, you know, you can say maybe, for instance, oh, we are not able to get this product the way we want it to be, which means you have to then go to the producer and say, I need more money, I need more time.
Right. Let's look at Obsidian and Ubisoft, and their kind of combination with South Park, The Stick of Truth.
The Stick of Truth.
That was supposed to come out, originally it was going to be September last year, and then they pushed it back because of THQ folding to, like, December.
Understandably.
Understandably.
And then by the time they got to that date, they had some issues with sensors around the world, like Australia, Europe, et cetera, et cetera.
Pretty much anywhere that is not the United States of America.
Oh, right, yeah. Right. Well, anywhere that you had to buy the game on a console instead of
And then
PC.
Japan actually censored it in the opposite direction, told them to add more tentacles.
And so then they pushed it back to March. But you noticed in September and December, they weren't taking pre-orders for it. Even months in advance, they weren't accepting pre-orders. They took it off of Steam, they put it back on. By the time March rolled around, they had only just started taking pre-orders, but that's when Obsidian actually had already submitted the product as finished and final, when Matt Stone and Trey Parker both said, "This is exactly what we want this game to be," when they said, "Obsidian, run with it from here on." When Obsidian gave it to Ubisoft to finally sell is when they finally started accepting pre-orders, and it wasn't more than like a week or two before the release date.
That should
seems
be standard.
Like an acceptable time period.
So let me ask you this. Is what you're basically saying is that for pre-orders to be even allowed, the game has to be up for the Gold Master already and basically a month or two from release, period?
Yes.
Yes.
Right. Finished product before pre-orders.
I could agree with that, yeah.
I think that's smart. Mm-hmm. I think it's smart all the way around.
At that point, you could promote the game leading up to the pre-order and basically, you know, show all your previews, show all your demos and trailers and whatnot and say, you know, soon you'll be able to pre-order this.
Yeah, like bring out your dead. Like, what you see is what you get.
Here's my also question, too. I really do want someone to explain to me truly, and anyone in the audience who may not also want to know the answer to this question, what is so the big hype about pre-orders? Because I've pre-ordered games before, and
well,
I pre-ordered because I'm like, you know what? From the reviews and stuff that I'm seeing,
this
isn't what I really want.
Well, if you're seeing reviews, then the game's probably out by then.
But
no, I mean,
see,
like,
the thing that
like,
I
the demo even
the
like,
thing
like,
that
the demo
okay.
This sucks. It's like
go ahead.
I can go ahead and at least say like the one thing that usually got me going with pre-orders is honestly I love some of the physical material that came with it. Like get this model of you know. I'm going to use Halo 4 as an example. Get this model of, you know, the original Spartans and stuff like that.
Yeah,
like a,
get the Master Chief.
Like an actual collector's edition.
But
right.
Pre-orders make
sense.
To
explain that.
But if the game sucks, then who cares about your little trinket?
So if I'm a fan, I don't
care.
I
already explained
but
that.
But if you're pre-ordering...
You tell me you don't care about dropping $70 on crap.
I'm speaking as a fan.
I'm a fan too.
I've seen you spend $70 on a trinket. Don't go there with
me,
dude.
What trinket did I spend on? I didn't even pre-order. Okay, because of Empire Total War 2,
okay.
I did not pre-order Rome 2. And I've been waiting for that, drooling at the bit, just salivating and all over myself. Like, I had to change my pants.
I explained exactly why they do those DLC pre-orders and physical pre-order bonuses, and it's literally to lock you into a specific retailer because, you know, GameStop, Walmart, Best Buy, they know you could walk into any one of those stores and pick up the game the day of release. But if they give you 10 cents worth of plastic and convince you to drop $5 in their store, you have no options anymore and you have to pick it up there.
Right.
And that's why pre-orders exist. It is nothing to help the consumer. It is nothing that benefits the consumer, except on the occasion that you do get something neat out of it as a pre-order bonus.
Well, there is also the big releases have the midnight release, which allows us gamers to pretend we have a social life.
Pretty much.
By awkwardly standing around and making idle chit-chat with other people we
and
don't
setting
know.
Up tips.
And waiting in line outside of a GameStop or whatever for 2 to 4 hours, depending on how long it takes.
My
if
God, we have like no protection
that,
against this.
Let's hand out some posters.
And the second part of the pre-order thing is because a lot of companies in this industry, retailers, put forth this mistaken concept that games are a rare commodity, and if you don't pre-order, you might not get your copy on launch day. Oh, sure, you might get it a day or a week after, or maybe 2 weeks, but you're not going to get it on launch day unless you pre-order. And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, evidence that, like, GameStop, for example, you know, former managers and employees and whatnot saying that, you know, when a major game came out and we'd have, like, 600 copies, they would all be behind the counter, and if a customer came in going, oh, my God, do you have Kill Death 7? And you'd be like, did you pre-order? Nope. Ooh, all sold out. Better luck next time. Guess you learned a lesson about pre-ordering, didn't you?
No freaking way.
I believe it.
Oh, yeah.
I've had that actually happen to me with a couple games.
Well, and, like, I know people that have actually told me, like, when they did that to me, I looked behind the counter and saw a stack of them behind the counter and know that it wasn't the pre-order copies because they had the pre-order copies set aside.
Sure. Okay.
And the protection that we've got against that sort of BS is to not play the game. Well, like, what I mean is...
Pre-order game.
Yeah, don't play the pre-order game. Like, don't do it. Don't stand in line at your midnight release for a game that you pre-ordered. Like, if you really need to have it, like, now... Get it on a digital distribution service. Get it on Steam. Get it on Origin. Get it
PSN.
Somewhere where you can download it. Have it
you know, sometimes the sad thing is that, you know, not pre-ordering, you know, to prove a point or something, it ends up making gamers cut off their nose to spite their face when the publishers tell the developers, cut an essential part out of the game and make a pre-order bonus. Like, yeah. You know, with Batman Arkham City, they cut, like, a fifth of the game out. All of the Catwoman content, unless you bought it brand new.
Yep.
Like, another game, Infamous Second Son. I was just talking about Infamous Second Son. There is an entire backstory, like, the Cole Legacy missions that tell you what happened in the last 7 years since the last game. Unless you buy a first print run of the game, you don't get that.
Ah, beautiful. So what that means is I will not buy Second Son.
Agreed.
Well, do you really want to punish the developers, though, in that situation?
Yes.
Because to punish the publishers, you also have to punish the developers. And
sometimes
they're just those miserable slaves that are being driven under the yoke of a publisher, and they want to do nothing more than create a good game.
Sucks
and it's sad. It sucks. And what are you supposed to do in that situation?
Do what Bungie did. Tell Microsoft to eat a D-Ock and make a better game and put it on all systems.
Too bad, so sad, crummy a fucking river. They signed up with a shitty publisher. They got paid. They got theirs. I'm not interested in buying into that.
No,
so
I'm not going to support that either.
Bad choices are made every day. Deal with it.
Exactly. Like, your bad choice was to go with that publisher. That publisher's bad choice was to neuter your game. I'm not buying your broken game.
Mm-hmm.
Come out with the director's cut in a few years.
Right.
Yeah, but then, Deg, to be honest, when you look at games like Arkham City, which is, like, one of the best games, you know, when it came out a couple of years ago, like, of the entire year.
Uh-huh.
That was awesome.
If you didn't buy that game just to prove that point, you would have basically, you know, punished yourself out of playing one of the best games of the year.
I didn't really buy the game because I didn't have any interest in it to begin with.
Okay, but I'm just using that as an example. Like say, you know, game of the year level material.
Well, the game of the
but
year...
Hold on,
wait.
No, I don't mean game of the year as in sailing the game of the year. I mean game of the year as in it is that good. It is the game of the year.
It doesn't matter, though. If you support it and you have an actual problem with how they run their business, regardless of how good the game is, they could be like, hey, you buy this game and we will send you your own Japanese shiatsu masseuse in a schoolgirl outfit. It should still be no because you are then promoting other companies to use those exact same freaking tactics.
Well, let me...
Like I said, I think the point is that, you know, it's basically damned if you do, damned if you don't, and the only way to prove a point is by punishing yourself. You have to punish yourself.
See, hold on.
Just wait. Don't pre-order. That's it. Just hold off a bit, you know? Let everyone else get screwed over. You know, watch them play the shitty
part. No, Stephanie, I'm not saying that you have to pre-order. I'm talking about, like, the incentives and whatnot with either buying a first-run copy or pre-ordering or whatnot.
It's a freaking incentive.
Well, the
there, yeah, yeah, exactly. Don't buy a bad game because of a pre-order. If it's a good game and you see the reviews and whatnot, then buy it.
But if you're seeing the reviews, then you're waiting at that point because you're actually.
Usually you can see reviews a couple of days before release.
Yeah.
And then they sometimes have like the midnight embargoes where the night before. So I mean, it really depends on the case in that situation.
Okay. Sure, but the instance you've mentioned, when they've removed a fifth of the game unless you pre-ordered it,
that should be illegal.
I don't want that game.
That should be illegal.
I don't
illegal.
Care who made the game. I don't care how good the game is. I don't fucking want it. Get it the fuck out of here. I'm talking with my money. Just get out.
Yeah,
I don't want
that
it.
Should be.
And you know what? I respect that. I respect that.
I totally agree with Dave. Like, you know, well, okay, I have a similar problem with DC Universe Online with how restrictive they are when the escrow and all this stuff. I go, you know what? I did the $5 for the extra inventory slot, but they will not get a single dime from me as long as they're doing those policies. I'm not going to complain about something and then give it money.
Right.
That is me empowering. As we say, I don't care if the game is the most awesome game on the planet. I will buy it used for when it's. I'll wait till it's $5. I'll make sure that they will not. They'll only get even if they get the cost of the manufacturing.
Well,
play the game
get anything out of
and
it
move
it
on.
Used.
I mean, look.
You know, I gotta praise you though because a lot of gamers like to talk and they like to say, you know, oh, this is so terrible. We like to whine a whole lot. But we don't like to talk with our wallet. We'll still buy the game.
I don't.
I will talk with...
So I will praise you for actually speaking with your wallet and not buying a game when it's bullshit.
Oh, you want to hear something funny?
It's not just corporate America, but it's capitalism at work. I will talk with my wallet.
On the DC Universe forum, I don't know if anyone here has played the DC Universe Online, but DC Universe Online, the community is one of the worst communities in a... MMO I've ever played.
Well, surprise, surprise.
Oh, sure. Okay.
It is literally split. Like you have the free to play, the premium, and you have the subscription. The subscription guys are these elitists, like pieces of crap, who just like there's literally a divide.
Right.
And I posted. I mean,
do the subscription guys actually get to ride the free to play players like mounts?
yes, in DC Online.
Is that a perk?
People were complaining, and then the subscribers were like, "Well, stop playing." And I go, "You know what? If the subscribers were, if you guys alone were enough to keep the game afloat, it would have never went free to play." So these microtransactions and stuff from the free to play players and from the premium players are what's keeping the game afloat.
Maybe.
So I made this post. I go, "You know what? I go, you people are the ones I will laugh at the hardest when this game that you guys love so hard and so anal about." Folds under because people like me go, you know what, fine, I will stop playing it. I will stop putting any money into this game whatsoever. You're the people I'll laugh at. I say, people, fellow premiums and free-to-play players, you let your wallet talk. Don't buy anything from their cash shop. They pulled my post off the website.
Wow.
I went back to check up on it.
Moderate.
It didn't get...
Please.
My
repost it. Repost it.
Yeah. My thread...
You'll get banned.
My thread didn't get locked. It got removed. I was like,
keep in mind that most forums are moderated by community members.
Well,
just throwing that out there, just saying, before you get upset at them, keep in mind that most forums are moderated by users,
not by people who work
for the company.
I wouldn't be surprised if some of these users were employees.
They were probably just trying to be inflammatory.
No, I said, look, the premium players and
you
the free
what,
players
about,
are all MAGA. Look,
how about we just go
it.
Ahead and hold off on this for the brief moment?
Hey, you know what? Can I go back to Kickstarter for just a moment?
Because you guys are starting to run a bit lower on time, and I don't want to distract you guys from finishing up, so I'm going to say...
All right, have a good one, Cynicui.
All right. Thanks for hanging out with Professor.
Yeah. Thanks for having me for so long.
Yeah, seriously.
Okay, you know, I'm going to take 2 minutes and go back to Kickstarter for a moment just to let people know, anybody that kickstarted the Carmageddon project, early access starts on Steam tomorrow.
Ooh.
Yes, and I'm a big fan of Carmageddon. I bought Carmageddon 1, I bought Carmageddon 2, and, you know, it's kind of funny. The copy of Carmageddon 2 that I bought, they don't know how it happened, but the store accidentally got a European copy, so I had the zombies and the green blood.
Ah!
Yeah, but you know what? I love the game all the same.
Still a fun game.
Yeah, and speaking about Kickstarter, you know, I've kickstarted a few things, Carmageddon being one of them, another being the Pebble, you know, the smartwatch, which I love, because right now during the podcast, I'm getting Facebook updates on my watch.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah, No, smartwatches are awesome. You know, if you're driving along and your phone rings, instead of, you know, reaching into your pocket and pulling out your phone, you look at your wrist. Oh, Bob's calling. You know what? I can't talk right now. Then you hit the ignore call button on your wrist.
Okay,
the Star Trek watch.
Pretty much, man. That sounds pretty
cool. Dick Tracy watch.
Well, damn, I kind of wish I could get into my point real quick about the whole thing you brought up about Game of the Year, but maybe I'll just save that for another time. Because sadly, it's coming to that time when we have to come to a grinding end.
It is time to not give
damn,
up.
Damn, we really went off on that topic.
Good game, guys. Gotta wrap it up.
Wow.
Wow.
Did you say grinding?
Done. You hear that? Get on that.
So we're
I was
going to say
that. Don's competition.
There you go, man. So
wait, I was using Melody. Damn.
But seriously, but no seriousness, I mean, Jesus, we went off of that for a good long while.
Yeah, that took a while.
Yeah, shame we don't have enough time to really kind of continue for at least a decent moment, because I'm pretty sure...
next week.
Yeah, I guess, but it seems like there's still plenty more that could be said. And
about it.
Yeah, and you know what? It's not just one aspect
we cover. We can have a four-hour radio show like Big Boy in the morning.
What was that, Span?
I was going to say, and it's not just one aspect that we covered. We covered a whole lot in that general range. It was like a sphere, and we were in the center of it, reaching out in all directions.
Pretty much.
It became like the good game Men, you know? It was like, intense.
Damn straight.
It was deep.
Stephanie, did you grow hair in funny places and start thinking about girls?
wait, what?
No.
Alrighty,
I totally
so,
missed something.
I usually grow some more hair on my chest as I'm drinking my Guinness beer, but, you know.
Oh, you just got so much more sexy.
Anyway, folks, so we got to go ahead and start wrapping this stuff up. So, hey,
like
remember,
a Christmas present, son!
Remember, folks, punch TKO next time you see him, for one.
No, punch the captain!
Next time, also, basically, if you guys want to follow up with any conversation that we have previously on the show, by all means, hit us
Facebook
up.
Facebook us.
Hit us up on Twitter. Just Facebook us up on both outlets, you know, the good game guys. You know,
we hate Facebook.
Pretty much right there.
We're here.
Screwing Oculus, but we are part of them.
Yeah,
hey, we don't know.
I think I had to look at you and shake my head in shame when you were starting to bring up the Good Game Guys ad block. Because
we're wrapping up.
Yes. We're wrapping up. So, like I said, folks, hit us up on our Facebook page. Leave any comments. You know, post up a few things you maybe think that we should maybe talk about.
And me and Duffer Captain Possibly Dank will be on Easy Talk Live this Friday for the celebration
of Easy's birthday. Anyway, that said, folks.
Oh, Emma Bett and Stefanini. Sorry.
Look forward to a few couple other projects of ours that are coming around the corner, especially since TKO finally has Payday 2 now. Maybe we'll look into getting some kind of stream going up. Who knows?
It's time to rob some people!
Anyway, folks, this officially is Dr. Captain of the Good Game Guys saying, signing off. Good game, folks. Good game.
Later.
Game.
That is James Brown.